This is Forrest Elise interviewing Mihai Bulaio for the Creative Push Project on August 14th at 6:12. Okay. All right. So okay. Maybe take me back to around the time of your pregnancy.
1987. I noticed, you know, I didn't even know I was pregnant. Because I was, 28 years old at the time. Been wanted to be pregnant many, many times. It was just not working. I didn't know. I didn't even know I had miscarriage, but I did have a couple miscarriages before this tubal pregnancy. Found out before the tubal pregnancy, my stomach was, a lot of my friends say, actually really big for 2 months pregnant woman. Because it's like, you know, I didn't even know it was tubal pregnancy, and I was getting bleeding was showing, you know, my underwear and stuff. So I call a hospital. They say, oh, all the pregnant women go through that, and with the pain too. It's very pain, you know. I said, oh my gosh, if all these women in the world are going through this much pain, I'd say they deserve a medal, you know. So anyway, it was like around December 20, in between 20 and 23rd, I called the hospital because I was bleeding inside. I was fainting. When I'm trying to go to the bathroom, I'm fainting in the hallway. Then, according to my ex-husband, I said my eyes were rolling the back way when I was, you know, passed out and stuff. So anyway, by time December 27, something came out of me. It was like 4 in the morning. In the meantime, like those 2 weeks was the most painful in my life. The pain, I cannot describe how painful it was by the word now.
Was it in the abdomen?
Yes, just the lower part. And I was getting very dizzy. Then can't go nowhere. I'm sorry, in practically 2 weeks, I'm just staying home and lay down. We're just too young and full, you know. We should call the, just force doctors, hey, I'm not feeling right. We didn't do that. Doctors said, oh, you have an appointment by December 30, just come in. But December 27, like I said, something came out of me. I felt like a warm stuff coming out. It was about, 3 inch long, something wide. I don't know, that was a part of baby. Ever since that was relieved, my pain was gone. I'm a religious, I believe in God. Meantime, I've been praying. I said, what did I do wrong so much go through this pain? So I've been praying till 4 in the morning. That's when happened. This thing came out of me and there was no more pain. So I called the doctor, hey, something came out of my body. Ever since then, I don't have pain. Those hospital steps, oh, put them in a little container, put them in the refrigerator, bring it with you on your appointment day. So we went there on December 31st. With that thing came out of my body, we went to see the hospital, and this lady was doing an ultrasound, you know. She was just rubbing it with this machine, giving me, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. I said, excuse me? You don't even know what you're doing, and you're trying to take care of me and relying on you, my baby, and me. She could not see. She said, I see something on the monitor. I don't know what it is. I'm thinking probably that's baby. But it's something is fishy the way they act. She was immediately stopped and she went outside. They were shriveling outside, you know, talking without me. That was on December 31st. My doctor was on celebrating New Year's Eve. So he has to rush in and came in. And he came in, he says, I have bad news for you and good news for you. What do you want to hear first? I said, you sound like a policeman. So I said, okay, what's the bad news? He said, we have to cut one of your ovary. And you still have another ovary. That's the good news, that you can have a baby, but it will be very hard for you to get because my ovary was kind of closed, not like a normal woman has it, you know, open. So that's what the surgery went that night, December 31st, and about 9 or 9:30. Surgery is supposed to take about an hour and a half. They say surgery was 5.5 hours. So very serious. Doctors say I was lucky I'm still alive. Because a lot of times the ovary blow up because of a baby. People will die, you know, like they, in the history, that's what. So I woke up, I didn't know what all this were going on. And my ex-husband told me, you were in the surgery for a long time. Because of a nervous tubal pregnancy time, I lost so many blood, that's why I was fainting. Because all the blood was, that's why my stomach was getting bigger, to holding all those dead blood, practically. And I'm still alive. So they have to put some other people's blood. I like a 3.5 pint of blood on me. So the surgery was successfully done. And he said because of all that scarf tissues there, the doctor said he really cleaned out real good. And he found that my other problem, because when I was having sex with my husband, I had, why bother having sex, you know? But he said I shouldn't have that problem no more. He took care of that problem. And I think that helped too, actually. Now I thought about it ever since then.
What happened? I'm sorry, I wasn't understanding.
You know, when he opened, he noticed I had a problem feeling sensual, like when you're having sex with men. I don't see why people are having the sex, because I don't feel orgasm. You know what I mean? So he found that, doctor found that when he opened, something was covering my area, so he kind of took it out and took care of my problem. Cleaned out, basically.
Did you notice a difference?
Yes. After surgery done, I was in the hospital for like, what, 3 or 4 days. I think the 5th day I came home. The day I came home, next day, I'm asking my husband, let's have sex. He goes, are you serious? Are you sure? Of course, he's been waiting a long time because I was going through all that pain. So I said, oh my God, I never liked this. But my physically, one thing, the bad thing changed was I never feel cold. When I go fishing area, you know, all the men are drinking whiskey, whatever, to keep themselves warm. Normally, I will wear a t-shirt like what you got shirt on. I'm still hot. I'm excited. But the day I was getting out of hospital, I feel so cold. So I went to see her about those thickest jacket they have. Ever since that surgery, my body's very sensitive for the cold temperature. Still, it is. I don't know what it is.
Well, Arizona's a good place to live, then.
I know, but I'm also sensitive for the heat, too. Yeah, so that was it, and I haven't got pregnant ever since.
So how did you know that? Okay, two things. One thing is, before you mentioned twins.
Yes. Okay, so one thing already came out of me. When the lady was doing an ultrasound, whatever, with the machine, she found another one. So I don't know what they were, probably in all on one side of the tube, I'm thinking. The tubes or ovary area. So I'm thinking that was twin. Because I was trying to see, is that a baby or what, you know? I was just, it looked like it. It was about this big, you know?
So they just removed that other fetus?
Mm-hmm. So that was it.
So you were saying your mother had some superstitions. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
No, my mother-in-law said, you're going to have a twin if you have a baby. I thought she was teasing me. I said, oh, you just want to have a twin, you know. But when I was pregnant, one thing came out of me, and that lady was doing ultrasound, there was another one. They didn't tell me what that was. They didn't explain to me. They just ignored me. My question is, hey, what was that thing I brought to you? So I never got an explanation from those people. I was just wake up from the surgery. I was crying. I was feeling sorry for baby. You know, they're like, oh, I just feel bad at the time.
So you went 2 months thinking you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And having a baby.
When you do that, you have a lot of fantasies about, you know.
At the time when I was pregnant, I'm thinking, oh my God. I didn't think I'm going to get pregnant ever. Well, religiously speaking, I asked God, all the women have a baby. Why can't I have baby yet? I want to at least prove that I'm not crippled, not can't have baby. At least I show me if I can get pregnant. Meantime, I'm sure they'll go through the same thing as my ex-husband too. Same time, he might think something wrong with him, you know. So that kind of proved that I can get pregnant, but not successfully, you know what I mean? Yeah, so some people say, be careful how you pray.
Jeez, I don't want to... I don't want you to be talking. Okay. So it's just allergies. I'm not sick, I promise.
Oh, don't worry.
So tell me about the miscarriages before. How did you know that you had been miscarrying?
Miscarriage was, let's see, that was 86. We were traveled from the East Coast to West Coast. That's when we finally settled Washington State. And I got the job was a flower shop, which was first time I like working flower shop. I didn't know I have to work till like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And all my life, I never worked that hard either. So anyway, before the pregnancy, I like to tell you, I'm not really crazy about sex. I like to mingle with my husband, maybe affection. But when it actually comes to sex part, I'm not really, oh, why do we have to do this? You know what I mean? But just before I was starting pregnant, I'm the one that's actually drive. My sexual thing was driving me. I said, what's wrong with me? But he loved it. So that's when I was pregnant, and which was, let me think, we come back August. So that's September and October, I was pregnant. I was working hard, and the flower shop, I love flowers, so I didn't even know I missed my period. It's always on time, right? It was 2 weeks later I realized, oh no, I missed my period. What's wrong with me, I'm thinking, because I haven't been pregnant all these time. Being with my husband, so I never thought I'm gonna get pregnant. But like I say, when we're, you know, before I was pregnant, I desired to have sex with him. It was just like crazy. So that was like, I'm thinking back now that if I was thinking, yeah, that's right, I was, you know, desire. I guess woman, I don't know, all the women go through this before the pregnancy. Then I was pregnant, and like I said, I was working in a flower shop. I didn't know I was pregnant, and then I thought, oh, I missed 2 weeks ago. I should have it. I haven't had it yet. And all of a sudden, I start my period, but its pain is like really bad, and oh, I must have a miscarriage. That's how I know. There was one, there was another time. I can't remember the other time. It was twice I had that experience before that Togo pregnancy. Yeah, so my body, I guess my ovary area is not strong enough, you know. My parents and Korean doctor, when I was in Korea, I went to see doctor and say, I want to make sure I'm okay, you know, why I'm not getting pregnant. He said, you're just fine. It's just your area is not strong like other women. And my mother says, you need to eat Chinese herb. There's a, you know, like, I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a Chinese, we call, in the United States, people call Chinese herb. The bunch herb can make you get pregnant, help pregnant, or protect the area. Or you can go see acupuncture and get acupuncture. It does help. But I never believed in that. I never want to, you know, go through all that. So that didn't help me.
So when did you move to the States?
I came to United States in 1983.
So you were raised in Korea then?
Yes, I was 23 when I came.
Can you mention the word Korea? I know that's silly, but so that when we record
Korean
it,
people war?
No, so that people know that you moved here from Korea.
I mean, we're like
I moved here from Korea in 1983.
I came from the Korea in 1983.
It's all incredibly fascinating to me. Yeah, and what hardship to go through, though. I mean, that must have been difficult to have these.
That was hard.
Because, I mean, you anticipate a baby and all the feelings that come with
that. You know, another thing I went through after that, because of my miscarriage and two of a pregnancy. I love baby before that happened. When I was growing up in Korea, we babysat everybody's baby. That's how it is. We don't care whose baby. We adore them like your own families. Then I came to stay 1983 also. I adore all my neighbors. I mean, I was like a Sunday school teacher or something. I will carry one in a bag, holding in the side. We go in the wood. That's when I was living in Washington State when I got married. All my neighbors bring the kids. But when I had a tube pregnancy after that, when I see them, it's like, I don't know, that's, I don't want to say jealous, but I don't know what it is. I don't like to see children. I don't think they're cute anymore. And like, hard to describe what that was all about. Until those things got gone. And when my sister was pregnant with my sister, my niece, she was an oops child. Didn't expect to be pregnant. Because her brother are together 6.5 years apart. When my niece was in her mother's womb, I'm starting liking the kids. Like, oh, I had a dream about her. When my sister was, she didn't know she was pregnant. She thought she had a cancer. I say, how does it feel? Well, what do you think? Why do you think you have cancer? What's the symptoms? She, well, I don't want to eat meat no more. And she's eating fruits and vegetables. It sounded like when I was pregnant, you know, it just exactly same. I said, when did you have your period last time? Oh, 2 months ago. But her period is not regular. It's just on and off. So she thought she went through one of those. And then that night I went to sleep. I had a dream. This baby girl was born and a lot of people around her just adore her. And I said, next morning I went, told her, hey, you're pregnant. Go check. Let's go buy your test. And it came out, you know, positive. She was pregnant. Oh no, I don't trust that. That could be always wrong too. So she waited like another 2 weeks or something like that. Then she went to see doctor. She's pregnant. So that's when the final answer says she's pregnant, and I'm start getting excited. I want to meet this girl. I was pretty positive that was girl. I say okay. Then ever since then, every neighbor. At the time, I was, where was I working? Flower shop. When I see little kid, I'm so excited. Every little kids are so cute. Oh, they look like my niece. And, you know, even though she was born, every little girl has a blonde hair or even look like her. I love them. It changed, you know. But until then, she was born, I was just like bitter, I guess. You can tell that bitter about what happened to me. I hear some other people going worse, but I was actually not quite bad. It's, I think because my religions, you know, my belief. Sometimes I do question him still. Why do I have to go through it? Why am I existing this world? You know, everybody, all these women have children. I mean, not all of it. I'm sure there's some woman out there can have baby or never even got pregnant. Some people don't even have one or two there at this modern state.
So, did the tubal pregnancy and the miscarriage impact your marriage?
Yeah. My ex said, if we have children, he and I, we would have never divorced. Well, his problem was, I don't know what mentally he was going through. I'm sure he wants, he loves children too. I said, okay, so we don't have children, that's why we're split. What's wrong with all the people who have 4 or 5 children? Why are they going divorce, you know? No, he has reason. I kicked him out of the house because he was doing some, when we moved to Washington, to Oregon State, he hang out with the wrong people. He would start doing marijuana. I said, I let you have to do it. Long as you can afford it. But he was doing other stuff. It's called math or whatever. He was acting really crazy, going, you know, it was just unbelievable. So I told him, I give you 1 year to change. Nothing changed. I'm giving up on this marriage. So things got worse, I said, okay, this is a time. I want to go move forward. I don't want to stuck the same old thing, go around in the same old situation. But his words say we will never divorce if we have children in between us. So, I don't know, you want to hear this story?
Yeah, always.
1998, we got finally divorced. We've been separated for like a few years. And I filed the divorce, and he signed, and I signed, and it was done. Just a year ago, I got a letter from him. He was saying, congratulations, and he said, I hear you're doing really good. I don't know how he found out about me. I received a letter from him.
Is he still on drugs and everything? Have you looked
at him? I don't know. He was saying he's been growing up, more grown up to do, but so are you, he said, so are you. And he said he's living alone, raising his daughter alone.
And you don't know who this daughter is? Or
no. He was meeting some woman at the time when I was living in Oregon. He said she was pregnant. He doesn't know that's his child or someone else's child because she was seeing more than one man. So I don't know. He adopted her or that's his child.
Did you guys meet in Korea?
Mm-hmm.
How long were you together?
For 20 years.
Jeez. That's a long time.
We grew up together.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he wants to get back together, but I'm thinking all the, you know, all the, what do you call it? Backlash. All the bad thing happened, and they're like, do I really want to go back to that situation? No.
Do you miss him?
Sometime, because, you know, like a music, certain time, the time we used to enjoy, those kind of stuff, like, you cannot buy with that or you can find in the future. That's just the path. I guess he's also feels the same way. He has all the picture. We took a trip together in East Coast for like a whole month. We were traveling, so he took a lot of picture. He said he's going to send me that picture. He wants me to copy and send him back. No, he wants to make situation so we can get back together again. I told him, I said, you know what? I don't miss those pictures. You can have it.
Are you with someone now?
No.
Do you miss that kind of companionship?
I do. I feel, you know, I need a companionship. I need a friend or someone to talk. I've been single woman ever since I was divorced, which is 16, 17, some years. When I was young, I didn't miss nothing. But as I'm getting older, and someone I can lean on it, I had a problem. Yeah, but I don't have time. I'm working all the time.
It's hard to find someone.
And another thing is I'm scared. Is this person maybe crazy? I don't know.
You've been through a lot, too, so I'd be weary also.
I'm being really careful. Being careful, so that makes me hard, too. It's better if I have time off, go, you know, mingle with somebody, get to know that person. But I just, like I said, I'm here all day, every day.
I know. Like 7 days a week?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Since March, I didn't have no day off because I didn't have a good helper I can rely on. I think this new girl I just got, she might be, I don't know how long she might be okay. I'm coming a little bit later.
How did you learn these skills?
These skills, let's see, who got me into this first? I love pretty things. Like, that's why I work with flowers and the food also. Since I was a little children, I love decorating food. So that, when I saw Japanese food, I'm thinking, wow, this is beautiful. It's amazing how you can do with the rice and the fish. So one of my... that was back in Oregon. A friend of mine made me a California roll. It was so good. Amazing. So she told me how she made it. I made it. It came out good, too. But I like to entertain my friend when I invite them. I make them food. Then when I came to Arizona, flower shop is not good pay here. It's just like a little bit more than minimum wage, not like Northwest. So I got the job in restaurants. I was a restaurant manager, and we served sushi and Korean food. The sushi chef said, I was his guinea pig. Or I would tell him, hey, you need something else. Yep, I will give him advice. He said, I bet you do good on sushi. I said, no, I don't want to become a chef. I like to entertain my friend, that's it. No more than that. But at the restaurant, there was too much drama. I want to leave. The sushi bar was available for what I can afford to buy. So I said, okay. So I took the one in the Fry's Market in Southeast Side. I ran that one for 6.5 years. Then the transition. Another company came in. Our company got kicked out. So I was off from business for 3 years, almost 3 years.
So is it a franchise?
This is a franchise, yes.
Not the fries part, but the sushi part mm-hmm. is separate from fries as a franchise? Right. I did not know that. No, that's fascinating.
Huh. Fry's Market has a Korean company, sushi company. Seibu has got this AFC, mm-hmm. which is, this is a Japanese company. They the one very first, the franchise and grocery store.
Wow. That's fascinating.
So you learned a lot today.
Yeah, I did. Actually, do you have any questions?
I just was wondering if you could, maybe you were talking about...
This is Ashley Zukowski speaking.
You were talking about, you know, the thing that came out of your body and how you didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever told you, right? You would ask questions. Could you describe just for us, like, what it looked like?
It looked like... almost look like, you know, like fat and some red tissue is kind of wrapping around thing. So my wildest guess is, you know, when the baby were born, so when they're like 12 weeks, they can grow up to, they got like little eyes and then I heard they already developed. So I'm thinking the baby was all curled up like this. That, oh my God, that thing was in my body. It hurt so bad, and as soon as it came out, I was no more pain. So I'm thinking, at the time, all the technology, and once they found out babies in the wrong tube, they could pluck them out, going through the, right here, what do you call that? Navel. I forgot. Go through there, take the baby out, put it in the right place where they belong. But this hospital people, they didn't really... I don't think they did their job. They didn't really listen to patient or, you know, say, what is it like? Why don't you come in? Of course, we were young and stupid, too, at the time. We could have forced them, hey, I'm not feeling right. You need to look at me. I heard that from the other people. You have to do that with the hospital people. But at the time, like I said, we were young and full, and I'm so stupid to... deal with all this pain, all that days and days and after. And when my parents found out, I guess they had some kind of dream, was telling her, and every time she sees some kind of drama, all that story about what I'm going through. And later on, she heard what's happening to me. She was like comforting me, oh, you'd be okay. Should be glad just you're alive, you're okay. And she was just comforting me. Yeah, that's what my poor mother was worried about, her daughter. I'm pretty sure that was one of the baby, and they took the other one.
Wow. Well, you are a strong person. You certainly have been through quite a bit, and you've come out the other side successfully.
That's it. I'm not gonna
well adjusted.
So I asked God, hey God, why am I being here? I don't have no husband no more. I don't have children. Why am I here? Good for what? For who? But one that was on one channel, a Christian channel I was watching, I am here to God's glory, glorify him. That made me, oh, at least I'm good for something. You know what I mean? That made me feel so much relief from, like, I'm here for nothing to something. So ever since that really comforted me. But once in a while, still, I said, God, are you enjoying? But I do give him that question and with the attitude. But I feel much better.
Mm-hmm. But you contribute to the world. I mean, you enrich people's lives, you know? Yeah. You've enriched my life, you know? So you impact people around you all the time. You probably just don't realize that. Yeah.
I hope so.
I'm sure of it. Yeah. I can guarantee it. Well, that was wonderful. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I wish I can tell all these things just pops out, but at this moment, no. I'm glad I remember about that sexual desire before the pregnancy, that because I thought I would forget to tell you. And that was, I don't know that all women go through that or not. You had a children, did you?
I think when you have that drive to conceive a child, uh-huh. it makes you have more of a sex drive because you're wanting to make a baby, you know what I mean? So I think so. And then when you're pregnant, your hormones are very different.
Right.
So I probably had more desire in the beginning of a pregnancy, but then I did not really want to have sex through most of my pregnancy at all.
I know. When I was, after the surgery, I was afraid to have sex because all that pain I went through. But like 5-6 days later, totally changed because of what doctor did, you know.
That's fascinating. I wish that he had told you more of what that was.
I know. So that was changing. The whole mood is like, I don't know.
Were you depressed after the surgery and the miscarriage?
No. It was much, much years and years later I was depressed. Like, why can't I? After I was divorced, my husband said, why can't I have children? I wonder, what if we had a children, the baby was okay, that we were born? Did it change our relationship, our life? I'm sure it is different than now, but would he change? No. I don't think baby would change. That's just him. No, I don't think about that no more. Try not to. I'm too busy to think past the bad memories in my past life, you know.
Well, thank you for recounting the story for us. Really appreciate it.
Well, I don't know if this is going to help anyone, but I hope...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Help your research.
Yeah, and just the idea that women need to speak up for themselves and, you know, and not, you know, cowed to authorities, you know, that you need to, you know, when it comes to authority, you still have to express yourself, you know.
I haven't met anybody, like, situation like me, has a miscarriage, or they all have children, at least one. The higher pregnancy, even, they have children, but I was watching just a week, similar situation as I was, you know, like, woman kind of pregnant, they want a baby so bad. That kind of make me think my past life, because a long time I haven't been able to get pregnant. Finally, when I was 28, this is what happened. My sister thought, are you sure that was a pregnant, you know, like some woman want to have a baby so bad, they think, what do they call, imaginary pregnancy. I heard that's really scary. She kept thinking that's what I went through. I said, didn't you hear what doctors say or the thing that came out of me? Why would they call a tube of pregnancy? So she thought that was just my imagination pregnancy. My sister, she doesn't understand.
Terrible.
Why would I bleed and all these stuff going through?
That's just diminishing your experience. That's not very kind.
She doesn't know what I went through.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Well, thank you so much. And I'm sorry you had to sit in this hot car. I think we can go ahead.